All right, let's begin. Sorry for the delay, laser. All right, here we go. Here we go. Let's load over the parasha. Let's start from Shani. Interesting parasha. A lot of stuff in this parasha. Here we go. Safari. Here's Safari. Okay, Bamidbar Parshas, Bahalaiswa, Shani. Okay. Delta Salvin. Rashi and Targum. Uncles. Okay, the Afrechain. Okay, so let's start from you have a chumash in front of you, by the way. You have a chumash. Where does it start from? Where does Shani start from? The Achrei Chaim. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehiyeh B'Dvarei. Let me try one more time. Let me just make sure I have the right place. Okay, Tanakh. Numbers.
You muted.
I don't hear it.
Oh, okay. I wouldn't hear
anything. Halosa. Okay, now let's see. We have Dalta, Pasig Vav, Pasig Dalat. Okay, let's start from there. We have Dalta, Salavim, Tech, Bede, Shova, Hayuli, Halavim, Yusha.
For some reason, my microphone doesn't work.
I hear you. Hey, I hear you. I hear you clear. Laser, I hear you. Rabbi Laser, I hear you. You hear me? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm on mute. Okay, I'm on mute. That was my mistake. I'm on mute. Now, I hear you. Good, okay, I hear you. Okay. We lost Mr. Rappaport. We have Dalta, Salavim, Musaqbanesh, Vahil, and Levium. We have Dalta, Yusha, you'll separate the Levium. Mr. Rappaport, welcome. We're blowing past the Gedalid. We have Dalta, you'll separate the Salavim, Musaqbanesh, Vahil, and Levium. There is no Rashi on this Pasik. Rashi over here. What happened over here? I had the Rashi over here before. Mefarshim, Rashi. There is no Rashi on this Pasik. And the Targum on this Pasik says. Targum says, "Usefareshios levo emi goy bnei shol vihoin mishamoshin kodomai levo e." We have an extra word. We have servants. The hoyu li halavim. This is the classic targum. This is another example between the difference between Rashi and the targum. Targum cannot tolerate, under no condition can he tolerate. Hashem is your personal buddy. Hashem is not your buddy. So when the pasuk here says v'hayuli, that the levim will be to me, they will be to me. It almost sounds like Hashem is a human being. Hashem is an entity which a human being can have a relationship with. And the targum, he shuts down. He shuts down anytime the pasuk has any remez, any inclination that HaKadosh Baruch Hu and a person have anything in common. Hashem is in Hashem.
I had a different view over what the Targum was trying to tell us.
Yes.
The Targum was telling you, what is the purpose of the Levim? Oh, you leave. It's like you put him in the corner and, oh, okay, you stay over there, fellas, when I need you. And that's what Targum says. What is the purpose of the Levim? Because otherwise you read the Pasuk, Pashad, he's saying, Mishamshin Kodami, they will serve before me. Like a palace guard, they are my servants.
Okay, but the psukim do go on and tell us explicitly what their role is. Okay, I hear what you're saying. The psukim, I think from the greater picture, the greater context of how Targum deals with this idea of the relationship between Hashem and man, there's a pattern. Anytime you think for a moment that you're developing a personal relationship with Hashem, the Targum puts on the brakes. He says, no, don't go there. You don't. There's a wall, there's a brick wall between you and Hashem. Now, of course, you know, we dive into Hashem, we serve Hashem, but don't get carried away with this. Don't get too comfortable. And it says here, your servants. Your li does not mean, oh, you're one of my people. You're one of my chassidim. You can come into the house with me and we'll sit down, we'll go out to a baseball game, we'll have a beer. No. You, let's know the role. I'm the master and you're the slave. Let's not make any mistake about that. That is a thoroughly consistent theme in Targum. Rashi disagrees. Rashi has no problem creating, giving you the impression that Hashem is mamish right here with you. Hashem is your buddy. As long as you behave yourself. As long as you behave. I'll walk with you in Gan Eden and you won't be afraid of me. Rashi, that's what Rashi says. The Targum, Targum saw that. If the Targum would have seen that, Targum came, of course, at least 1,000 years before Rashi, the Targum would faint. That's what you talk about Hashem. You talk about Hashem, Hashem is your buddy, he's going to walk with you in Gan Eden, and you're not going to be afraid of him, you're not going to be afraid. No way. Rashi did this on purpose. Rashi obviously felt in his era, people needed to feel a closeness. I think that there's something very deep here. I don't know if we know, we can really appreciate what Rashi did. And if not for Rashi, if we never had a Parish Rashi, and we only had Unkelis and other Rishonim that gave us a Parish on the Chumash, I think to a much larger degree, we today would think that Hashem is completely separate. It's like Hashem, you know, yeah, there's Hashkocha Pratis, and Hashem is Din V'Cheshbin, but we wouldn't personalize our relationship with Hashem as Hashem being a father, a mother, a Rebbe, a friend. We live with a Hashkocha that Hashem is almost like a person. Hashem is not a person, God forbid, Chas Hashem, to say that, but the way we relate to Hashem is, you know, Hashem understands. He knows that I'm tired. I'm not going to go daven ma'ariv with a minyan tonight. I'm going to go daven b'yichidus by the koysel because I'm tired. Hashem understands. What do you mean Hashem understands? You puny little mind. You think Hashem? What are you going and you are ascribing to Hashem your hasagas, your machshavas? Hashem is not your buddy. Hashem is the melech. Yet, for somehow the average person today walks around with this hashkofa, that Hashem, you know, he's an easygoing guy. I don't mean it like that. Where does that come from? Where does that come from that we ascribe to Hashem a almost personal relationship where we give Hashem weakness, kaviyachal, like we? Rashi. That's what Rashi does all the time. Rashi really does it, and being that Rashi is the primary commentator and the primary molder of our hashkafa, every yesoid in Yadus is in Chumash Rashi. And Unkelis, no way, no way, never, ever, ever will Unkelis allow such a thought to go into your mind. In Unkelis' mind, the way he presents the hashkafa, Hashem is the melech, and you step out of line, a bolt of lightning will come down and totally wipe you out. And you see that over here. V'hoyu li halavim. Now Rashi doesn't say anything over here, so you can't be right from Rashi. But Rashi elsewhere always does this. But Unkelis is consistent. V'hoyu you'll be to me. That has a certain expression of endearment. And Unkelis says, no way, no way. I'm the master, you're the servants. Okay, next. V'achrech, and afterwards, yavo halavim, they will enter. They will come la'avoy to serve as oil moed, viti harto oisam, you'll purify them, vehe nafto oisam, and you will wave them to Nufa. Okay, every one of the Levim was picked up by Moshe Rabbeinu and was waved in six directions. Can you imagine Moshe Rabbeinu taking Meir and picking him up and shaking him like a lulav, and then zetzing him on the floor like a hashana? An oiske clap to Hashana. Could you imagine? Well, that's exactly what. And then when he was finished, he was thrown on top of the Aron HaKodesh to hang there from the chandelier through Simchas Torah. Mayor, you're listening?
I'm waiting for that. That will prove I'm a real lazy.
Aron,
Aron waved them, no? Moshe, Rashi says later, Pasuk Chav.
Aaron waved them? Okay, Moshe. I made a mistake. Okay, I think Moshe did.
Moshe, Amidon, Aaron and Ephraim.
Okay, you're right, I made a mistake. Dvarim Shamarti, Tosem Vyadi. Mr. Rappaport, you're right.
Our uncle waved us.
Let's see. Yachrechen, Yavohalid, Nevim will enter Lavoy to do service on Moe, Viti Artois, and he will purify them. Vityard, who is he? Who is he? I guess Moshe will see who Vityar Toi Sam, and he will, once you have purified them, okay, once you will have purified them, Vehinafto Isam, you will wave them to Nufa waving. Rashi. Rashi.
Did Moshe get waved? Moshe was a lady, or was he considered the Kohen Gadol? Who waved Moshe?
Good question, I don't know. Good question. I don't know the answer. Did Moshe have to shave off his beard? All of the Levim had to shave off every single hair on their body, their eyebrows, their beard, their payas, their even the hair in the private area of the body. Every single hair had to be shaved off. That was one of the complaints of Korach. That was one of the complaints that Korach had to Moshe. Korach's wife said, look what he did to you. You were a very handsome man, a big, nice beard and payas, a beard and payas, and look what he did to you, Moshe. He took you, he shaved off, he made you look like a meshugama. He went, he made you look like a meshugah. All the Levim, they came out, they were completely bald and shaven with nothing, like a freak. It's really scary. But that's what it says. Every single hair in the body had to be shaved off. And then they had to be waved, picked up and waved. I mean, how do you do that? How do you wave people? How do you pick them up and wave them? There are a lot of mysteries in this expression. Let's see, Rashi, there is no Rashi. We're saying the Targum. Uvasarchein ya'alun levo'il l'miflach to serve yos mashkan. They will enter, the word la'avod means to serve, into the Mishkan, Zimna, the old mode under the temporary structure, usidake yosoin, purification, usirem yosoin, and they will be waved arama upwards. The word tenufa, interesting translation, arama, also the word usirem means, really means harama, to lift up. I translate it as to wave in six directions, maybe that's not correct. Tenufa means up and down. Okay, well, we have to see in the later psukkah. Over here we said the word usirem is to lift up. Okay, next, why? Ki nisunim nisunim hemoli, because they've been delivered. The word nosan means to deliver, and we have a repetition of the word. They have been delivered twice. Hemadei tani mitoch b'nei shol tachas, in exchange, pitras korechem, the firstborn, the peterechem, pitras korechem b'chor, call the peterechem, opener of the womb, b'chor, of every firstborn, Mibnei Yisrael, Lokachti Oisamli, as we learned in 2 weeks ago, Parashat Bamidbar, that after the Chet HaEgel, originally it was the firstborns that were meant to serve as Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash, and because of the Chet HaEgel, it was taken away from them, and it was given instead to Sheva Levi. How many Levim were there? There were 22,000 Levim. How many firstborns were there? 22,273. So there were 273 Levim in addition, there were 273 Levim more than there were Levim. There were exactly 22,000, which is very hard to believe. A round number, 22,000 Levim. The truth is, it says in Rashi, there were 22,300, but 300 were firstborns. So since they were firstborns, they redeemed themselves. It was really 22,300 Levim versus 22,273 firstborns. Now, but from the 22,300 Levim, 300 were firstborns. So since each Levi was coming to redeem a firstborn, so if the Levi himself was a firstborn, he redeemed himself by being a Levi. Okay, those 300 Levim I find to be very, very fascinating, because those 300 Levim were not redeeming any Yisraelim. They were basically redeeming themselves, because you had to match up every Levi for a firstborn. So, but if the Levi himself is a firstborn, so being a Levi counteracts the fact that the Levi is a firstborn. You'll say, but it doesn't make any sense. The only reason why the firstborns lost their right to do the Avodah is because they worshipped the Egel, or they participated, or they were tolerant of the Egel. Whereas the 300 Levim who were firstborns, they had nothing to do with the Egel. So why you would say that if they had nothing to do with the Egel, they weren't relevant to this whole thing, and 300 of them should have been able to participate in the redemption of the firstborns. Obviously, there's a lot more going on over here than for now, than what meets the eye. But basically, we have to match up a Levi to a firstborn. There were 22,300 Levim. 300 of those Levim were firstborns. which is very surprising. Why only 300? What are the statistics? How many people were in each family? That's a very small number. Wouldn't you expect, if you have 22,300, Mr. Rappaport, if someone would say to you, here we have 22,300 people, how many of these do you think are firstborns? I would say 3,000, 2,000. What you think about a family, how many people are in an average family? How many, what are the chances you're firstborn? And it can be a female, you can have an older sister. I don't know what the statistics are, but for some reason in my mind, the number 300 is a very low number. Rabbi Eliezer,
if you go back to the beginning of
Bamidbar,
Pasuk before Shishi, there's a very involved Rashi. Rashi goes through the Pasuk, the whole thing in Pasuk Lamed Tes.
But I think I pretty much saw what it says in Rashi. I remember the Rashi. That Rashi.
The oldest Svartim had 200,000. There was much big Svartim. 80,000, 22,000 for Shevet, who were not enshrined, did not have the Reditas. Maybe the other Svartim had 8 kids apiece, and Levi did not have 8 kids.
That's one of the things, that they were not Zoich. Levi was not in the Chelik, the Chasher Ya'anuay, so Ken Yerbe, Ken Yifreitz.
Right.
All the other Shvatim multiplied. The more the
lady had a lot of girls.
The busier, someone once told me recently, if anyone that has a problem, and he said this tongue in cheek, but there's a little bit of truth to it. Anyone that has a problem, it's because he's not working hard enough. Work harder. Yeah.
The way Rashi describes it over there, Rashi is in Yochanami, there was three. There was a total of 22,300. So why did they include the 300? Because those 300 will be in with themselves, Bukharim.
Right.
So that's why the Jews who were Bukharim, that extra 300, had to redeem themselves with money.
Actually, 273. Right, that's exactly what I said. So my question to you is as follows. Let's go on a side point. My question is, the reason why the Levim redeemed the firstborns in general was because the Levim did not participate in the Egel. Right? The Levim.
Hashem took the Avoida away, no?
Hashem took the Avoida away from the Avoida from the firstborns and gave it to the Levim, which is Mashman. The Levim had nothing at all to do with the Egel. So a Levi being a firstborn is not a Yachsan. A Levi being a first, Rashi there says the reason why we don't count the. Rashi there says a lot of Chidushim. First of all, he says there were 22,300 Levim. How come we're only going to use 22,000 of them? We're not going to go use it. There's an extra 300 that are not being utilized. So Rashi says.
The Levim were working from the 30 days old, right?
No. We're talking about the Levim. Were we talking about the Levim from 30 days old? I don't remember.
Yeah.
That's not. Is that?
Is the Levim were counted differently than everyone.
No, that's only in last week's parasha. You may be right. Maybe you're right. That was my Bible. You're right. Okay, fine. But whatever it is, but the question is, we're not.
With the regular counting, it was the Ben Asrim Shabbat.
Okay.
But here you counted all the kids, and you still didn't have more than 22,000.
Okay.
That itself is very.
Well, that Chazal address. Chazal tells us that they were not.
Back.
Yeah.
There, if you go back to Parshas Bamidbar, among the Bnei Yisrael, there were exactly 22,273, like
firstborns, 273. So who had to be redeemed? 273. Question: why couldn't 273 of the firstborns redeem? The Levim had 22,300. So there are more Levim than there are firstborns. So why did 273 need to be redeemed from the firstborns when there's adequate number of Levim? There's 22,300.
No,
so the answer is 300 kids. Right.
300 Levim of Bukhara.
Right. So my question. Right. So I have two questions. First of all, isn't that a very small number of firstborns? If you have 22,000, if someone would stop you on the street and ask you, tell me, if I bring you together a group of people, of 22,300 people, tell me, how many of these people do you think are firstborns? What would you say off the bat? You go into an auditorium. Yesterday they had in New Jersey, in Wells Fargo, an event. There were 20,000 people there. How many people do you think at that event were firstborns? They're only males. Only men came to this event. 22,000 males showed up. 20,000 males showed up to this event. Mr. Rapport, take a guess.
The pasuk tells you by Midbar, fact. It tells you there were 22,273 shiners.
That's Klal Yisrael.
Yeah.
That's a Sebi.
So, same for the Levium. Same for the Levium.
No.
It's facts. You know, when a Torah gives you facts, you know, it's like...
I know that. I'm doing... I'm just... Okay, we have to do the math. What we have to divide. We have to do the math here and add the numbers. Okay, that's not relevant for now. Let's go further. Okay, but there's the other question. I'll just show the other question. Why were 300 Levim discounted? So you answered. You quoted Rashi. Because 300 of the Levim were firstborns. Right? Because they were firstborns. Rashi says they being a Levi... You have two milas going for you. You're a Levi and you're a firstborn. And because the Levim are coming to redeem the firstborns of the Jewish people, well, the Levi himself is the firstborn, so the Levi is redeeming his own firstborn in himself. But my question to you is, the Levi doesn't need to redeem the firstborn in himself, because the Levi didn't do Avodah Zarah to begin with. The whole Sheva Levi was mufka, was removed from the Chayto Egel. So you're telling me, if the Levi is also a firstborn, he couldn't be utilized to redeem the other firstborns of the Jewish people, because he needs to redeem the firstborn in himself.
So many of you hear it.
Okay.
Hashem said, yeah, I don't know. The way Rashi is trying to sit here in Mount Midbar, basically, they had to redeem themselves.
Right, I just asked you a general question.
If there had been more Levium Ubacharis, not just 300, let's say there had been 1,000. You know, Hanami, they would have had to...
There would have been another system.
There would have been 700 or whatever extra Jews that would have had to pay money.
There would have been, right, there would have been an entirely different system that would have been needed. Fine. Okay. In any event, over here it says, Ki nisunim heima mitoch b'nei shol tachas kol pita sadif. Generally speaking, the Levim are now going to be the exchange. They were delivered to Hashem and the Beis Hamikdash to serve in exchange for the firstborns, tachas, pitras, kol rechem, bechor kol, the opener of the womb, the firstborn of every single member mibnei Yisrael of the Jewish people, lokachti oisamli. Now there's a little bit of this very interesting, because over here when it says the word kol, bechor kol, every firstborn, that's not true. Question, another question I'm asking you. It's not true, because there were 273 extra firstborns which did not have a Levi to take over. The Levim took over the firstborns, but there were more firstborns. There was an additional 273 firstborns that did not have a partner to take over for them. And those Levim had to redeem themselves with money. So why does the pasuk say they are tachas, the Levim are in exchange for the pitras kol rechem, the opener of the womb, bechor, first, there's repetition here. Once you say pitras kol rechem, that means the bechor. And in addition, it makes it clear, bechor, that's repetition. And then the shocking thing, it says kol, every single bechor. That's not true. It wasn't every single Bukhar. There was 273 extra firstborns that were not redeemed, that were not replaced. They didn't have a pen pal. They didn't have, it was like, you know what this was like, Mayor, you listening? This was like, adopt a koilel, adopt a Bukhar. Ablazer, you don't come to shul to the Young Israel. You walk into the Young Israel, they have these big signs and banners all over the place. Adopt a koilel. You would think someone was coming to adopt us. No such luck. They're adopting a koilel in Eretz Yisrael. So this concept of adopt a koilel was really Hashem.
Did you see a noble? automatic donation machines?
No, we're in the shul.
Yeah, it says adopt a kaila, and then there's a little tablet where you can scan your card.
For the adopt a kaila or not for the shul?
Yep.
Terrible.
Adopt a kaila.
Adopt a kaila provided in every single shul a credit card scanner?
I didn't see that. I saw it in one shul.
No, you probably saw. You probably saw for the shul itself, and then the mela.
Adopt the kaila.
Really? First of all, you should know about adopt a kaila. They don't take. There's not a penny that goes through their hands. They fundraise privately for all of the paraphernalia, all of the. And by the way, the reason why they have all these fancy marketing materials is because there are two partners. I don't know the other guy's name, but one of them is Heller. That's Parnassa. He's a printer. He's very successful. He's in the printing business. So all of these fancy banners and paperloch and marketing materials, he does in the office, because that's what he does with Parnassa. He does commercial printing. That's, he makes it very good. He's very, very successful. So that's his business. And then they raise money.
And he pays.
What?
And he pays himself.
Could be that he gets money. They give money to him and he pays. But as far as the money in the people in the shul who give money to adopt a kolo, not a penny of it goes to adopt a kolo. You pay either. It goes straight to the kolo or the shul does it. Their policy, they start from the very beginning, they do not deal with the money. They do not get their hands dirty with the money. The money every shul, they have 200 already, or more than 200 shuls who have partnered with the Kohel in Eretz Yisrael, and the people who give the money, they don't give the money they don't make a check to adopt a Kohel. The check is made out directly to the Kohel in Eretz Yisrael, or maybe the shul, you make out the money to the shul, and the shul sends one big check to the Kohel. They have nothing to do with the money. They just make the partnership. And as far as their marketing that they do among themselves, they don't take any money. That's something entirely separate. That's a very good thing. It's a very clean business. Not the mamish do not touch the money. I know, because he comes, I sit with him, I know him from Chaim Berlin, Chaim Heller. He's involved in a lot of these things. He is so aggressive, you cannot imagine how aggressive he is. He doesn't take no for an answer. Where I daven on Shabbos, they would never, ever, ever do this, where I daven on Shabbos. And I walk in there one day, and I look at the walls, and all over I see these big signs, adopt a kolo. I could not believe it, that the rabbi where I daven did this. He went and he took it upon himself. So I asked him, what? How did he get you to do this? No way, you're not the type. So he says to me, he harassed me. He just harassed me, and I couldn't take it anymore, so I just gave in. You see what happens? People who have, and then we say, what's so terrible? Some of the rabbis, they love it. Rabbi Shulman in the Young Israel of Midwood, he loves it. He says all from the Torah from there, he has a whole relationship with them over there. It's unbelievable. Some people, they really hit it off. In any event, going back to our sugya, we have over here, adopt a bechor.
They print up
a lot of stuff. All that is nothing to do with anything. That's not part of.
Look in front of the young Israel.
I know all about it. I know they print up the chidushim Torah to show that they're learning. I know. Okay, going back, but this is an amazing idea. This idea of adopt a kolo, or you know, they have sister cities, different countries, Goyish countries. They have sister cities. This is, Hashem is ahead of them. That's adopt a Bukhar. Adopt a Bukhar. You have here the firstborn, and the firstborn basically can't serve. So we'll do it for you. The Levi does it. The Levi does. They have an Eretz from the army. And they give you a name to daven for. You have a fellow who's going on the front lines. He's risking his life for you. So you should get his name, and you should daven for him, and you should call him up and say hello to him. How you doing? I daven for you every day. I give tzedakah for you. You know why? Because I should be doing what you're doing. You are risking your life for me, for this country. You go, and you stand on the front lines, you go to Lebanon, you go to Gaza, you go to Syria, you go to Iran, you give up your life, you give up these very precious years to go and risk your life for me, who am I? The very least I can do is I can daven for you. Every day I daven Shimon Esra, I say your name, I give tzedakah that Hashem should protect you. It's a brilliant idea. They did this. Someone did this where they went, they took every single soldier and they took their name and they went and they gave out their names to people who wanted to join up to make a private personal relationship between the citizens of the state of Israel and the IDF. Is there any country in the world that have such a thing like this? Mika Amcha Yisrael, any country in the world where you daven for a soldier who puts his life on the line for you? Pile ploim. It's unbelievable. So this idea,
where is it? The group in Masi that sends out packages to Jewish soldiers.
Yeah, but you don't know, you don't have a personal relationship with them. You don't have their name. You give money. Yeah, but here you match up soldier to person. Match up, they give you the name, they give you his telephone number, you can call him, you can email him, you can text him. This is your soldier. Feel, be mishtatef in the defense of the land. It's an unbelievable thing. And you should know some people, not everyone was so happy with this. When they first, I don't know where they're holding now, when they first started, you know why? Because I heard the story that there was, they gave those to kids in high school, and there was a soldier that was killed. There was a soldier that died in action. And the person who had his name was traumatized. And like, you know, so someone started to challenge, is this really a good idea? Is this really a good idea to do this, to go out of the kach? I don't even know what happened at the end, but as far as I know, it's in full force. A lot of people, they really like this. But it's nothing new, it's in the Torah. We have here firstborns, and the firstborn can't do it. He can't do it. Why can't he do it? Because he's not pure. He's not tar. Because he messed up. He participated in the ego. So now he says to the Levi, you be in my place. You adopt me. Levi, adopt me. And the 273 people that no one was willing to adopt, who adopted them? Meir adopted them. They had to redeem themselves. Ki nisunim nisunim alimitev neshol patachas vizkol rechem. But it says here, call. Mr. Rapport, how could it say the word call? There were 273 extra firstborns. What do you mean call? Mibnei Yisrael, lokachti oisam li. Okay, let's see over here, Targum. Arei, Targum over here, we'll do Targum first. Arei, afroshosa mafreshin. Now this is a shocking Targum. Uncle says, I separated them. That's not the translation of the word nisunim, nisunim. The word nisunim means delivery. Prime delivery, Amazon Prime. I have delivered. And the Targum over here says it's not what it means. Although the Pasuk says the word nisunim, every word that we always say in this shir is words in Lashon HaKodesh are not defined. Words are abstractions. And the definition of a word is solidified based on its context. It's the complete opposite of every secular language in the world. In every language in the world, you want to say a concept, you go to the dictionary, you find the word, and then you take the words and you put the words to bring out the idea you want to say. In Lashon HaKodesh, it's not the way it works. In Lashon HaKodesh, you express an idea in abstractions. And then, after the idea has been expressed through a combination of abstractions which bring out the point you want to bring out, now we can go and we can define what the word really means. A word in Hebrew is an this is a proof to this principle. Because we typically translate the word nisunim to means to give. And in this context, it cannot mean that. You don't give. You don't give. That's not the way it doesn't work. You don't pick up your body. There's no such thing as giving your soul and your body to the service. It means you serve. So in this context, the Targum sets us straight. This is a very powerful idea, what the Targum is doing. Af Rosha, here in this edition, they make it put in bold. That you have been selected, separated. Inun, they, to Li, Inun Li. Now this is a shock. Now, you want to know something? this really goes back, I didn't even realize what I was saying. It could very well be that this is also the reason why he says Af Rosh Hashanah is like we said in the previous pasuk, because of the word Li. The word Li is a word that the Unkelus does not like. He does not like this word. Because the word Li sounds like you have a personal relationship with Hashem. And this goes against his entire Weltanschauung. His entire, you know, how do you translate Weltanschauung? Entire way of thinking. His way with his whole frame of mind. Li does not mean you don't have a personal relationship. Thus, that forced Unkelus to reevaluate the precise meaning of the word nisunim, nisunim. You have been separated for me. You have been separated to serve. You're not given over to me. The word given over has a connotation, you're buddy-buddy with Hashem. If you give yourself over to Hashem. Now that we gave ourselves over, so we sit with you, we eat lunch with you, we eat dinner with you, we talk to you like buddies. No. You're not Hashem's buddy. You have been separated from the rest of Klal Yisrael for a service. Don't think that you actually have a personal relationship. Okay? Further, you go up in Yisrael chalaf, in exchange, chalipin, pesach, the opener, kol valda, the opener of every valda. Valda means what? A womb. Petikol rechem. A valda is a velod. Ein lo velod. Velod means a womb. A yeled is what comes out of the velod. The vav is the part of the shoresh. The velod. It's a pasuk in the Torah. It means a womb. And then the a yeled is the child that comes out of the womb. In exchange of the opener of every womb, Bukhra, the firstborn, Chola, all, every single firstborn, the Bnei Yisrael of the Jewish people, Karevis, now here's another hard word, Yosoin Kodamai, you have come near. Again, this is Lokachti, this is another example of the Targum's intolerance of personalization of Hashem. Lokachti, I took. I took is very similar to the word nisunim. It's a different word, but has almost the same meaning from our perspective. And again, the Targum refuses to translate the word accurately because it would connote a personal relationship, which is impossible. So he says it means you've come near. You've come near. Don't get too close. Keep your distance. Yosoin, you before me. I want to end off. We only have 1 minute. I want to end off with really my answer to Mr. Rappaport. This is what my answer is to the question we had before. You tell me what you think about this. And it answers some questions, but it doesn't answer all, and it's not what Rashi says. It's not what Rashi says. So I can't make believe I'm trying to reread Rashi, because that would be a lie. But it's just, I don't know, I just choyver ledrush. The truth is, there were 200, there were 300 extra firstborns. There were 300 extra
Levium.
300. And how many firstborns were there? There were 273. So I want to say that the truth is, 273 Levium redeemed those 273 firstborns. Now, there was a adopt a Bechor was complete. There was 22,273 firstborns, and let's take now 22,273 Levium, and each Levi adopted a Bechor. That would explain what it says here in this pasuk. Bechor kol. Every single firstborn was accounted for. Now, here's the problem. When they adopted them, here's where the whole thing gets triggered. What was our question? why did a Levi need to redeem the element within of being a firstborn? A Levi didn't participate in the ego. He doesn't need to redeem himself altogether. So the point is that now that the Levi himself is a firstborn, and this Levi adopted a firstborn, so the firstborn is done. Well, what happens is it triggers a problem. I don't have the idea worked out, but because there's an overlap, the firstborn element in the firstborn that has been adopted is a problem now for the first time for the Levi who is a firstborn. So what's going to be necessary is that the firstborns, in addition, are going to have to also give five shkalim. To make it short, there are two. The short is that when you learn the Rashi in Parashat Bamidbar, basically Rashi says 273 firstborns were completely no one adopted them. And there were 300 Levim that did not adopt anybody. They were Hayluchud v'Hayluchud, Basar v'Chalav. No connection. I want to suggest no. 273.
What? Why did you need the Chamisha Shkolam, Zeris Akosa, that those 273 Bnei Yisrael had to pay? If you're right, that Dr. Kolo means, hey, he's paying the bill.
Because the problem is, let me explain. Because when a Levi, who is a firstborn, adopts, and I'm saying they did adopt, a Bechor, which the translation of Bechor means a firstborn, it creates a new dynamic. Why are you better than me? Well, I didn't worship the eagle. You did. Okay, but you're a Bechor. You're still not eligible to redeem me. There is, Rashi there seems to say, there's a complete separation between the two. They don't know from each other. I want to suggest, no. There is. The Levim are adopt. 273 Levim are adopting those firstborns. But the problem is, it's not a good shidduch. It's a shidduch. There's an adoption. But it's problematic because, wait a minute, why are you adopting me? Because I'm a Bechor and you're a Levi. But listen, you're also a Bechor. So the fact that you're a Bechor awakens the Bechor in me. If you're not a Bechor and you adopt me, okay, so you go into the Beis HaMikdash. But if you are also a Bechor and you are adopting me, you know what you're really doing? You're causing me more harm. Because you've adopted me. So you're being misaking me. But when you go do avoid in the Beis HaMikdash, you're presenting yourself before HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a firstborn. And you're representing me, who's the firstborn. So your firstborn element is reminding HaVashem of my Avera. All of the other 22,000 Levim, when they go and they adopt someone and they go do service in the Beis HaMikdash, they don't present the Avera. It's like Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegor. They don't present the Bechor. I'm a Levi. I'm the Kapara. But when you're a Levi and you're a Bechor, and now you're representing a Bechor who did the Avera, Hashem doesn't have kindness on you, Levi, that you're a Bechor. But because you are a representative of a Bechor, it awakens the Bechor who you represent, who you're replacing. There's going to be a kitroik on that Bechor. Because the Levi who adopted you is reminding Hashem of the Bechor. It's like, Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegor. Now what comes out according to this is it's the opposite. It turns out now that there are going to be, I don't know how to add, 20, there were 273, there's going to be 27 first Levian who have no one to adopt.
So they don't adopt so
far. Who are the 27 Levian You don't find that. You don't find anywhere that 27 Levim were not allowed to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. You don't find it anywhere. According to what I'm suggesting, it was just the opposite. I think there's something solid over here. It answers this pasuk and it gives it a hesber of why they have to redeem the five shkolim, because it's like they got a problem of in kateganas sanegar. But what happens in this mahalech is now there are going to be 27 extra levim who have no one to adopt. No, they're not. They're not Levim. No, they're not Levim. The Levi is only a Levi because he adopted somebody.
They're 300 Levim. They're like their brother Levim, except they haven't been first.
You think Loy Plug? We're making a cheshbon over here. Loy Plug, you're saying they're going to be, the end of the day is, there are 27 Levim who have no one to adopt. I'm trying to turn the whole thing upside down.
I understand your drush. The only problem I have with your drush, the psukim don't line up with your drush. With all the
they do line up. Rashi doesn't line up.
It does.
The psukim line up, not the Rashi.
Don't line up. Why do they have to give five shkolim?
I explained to you. Because it's like, I explained to you what.
Like I said before,
no.
Let the Levium, the 273 Levium out of the 300, let them pay the bill. I don't have to give anything. God, let me alone. They're adopting me.
Let me explain why. When every Levi walks into the Beis HaMikdash, he represents somebody. Correct? Correct?
They all represent Klal Yisrael.
No, they're representing the firstborn. No, they're adopting someone. The pasuk says.
What does it say?
Tachas kol b'chor. This pasuk it says. It says, Ki nisunim nisneim al Levi tel Yisrael, tachas pitras kol rechem b'chor kol b'nei Yisrael, lakachti asam li. Adopt a b'chor. A Levi walks into the Beis HaMikdash, I represent Bechor number 6,520. I represent him. Hashem...
And there are 300 of them who have nobody to represent.
No, they represent... No. There are three... Let's talk about 273 Levi.
I represent myself.
No. No, I want... Too simplistic. I want to say now, there are 273 Levi who walk in. I represent Levi number 8,420, who happens to be a Bukhar. Who is a Bukhar? And I'm also a Bukhar. You're a Bukhar? You're a Bukhar? And you're representing a Bukhar? You, Levi, you're a Bukhar? Oh, that's Me'oirer Kitroig on the one who you represent. Because if you're a Bukhar, you're going into the Kodesh HaKadosh and wearing gold. You're a Bukhar, and you're representing a Bukhar. Oh, how come the Bukhar is not doing the Avodah? Because the Bukhar did an Avera. So you're not doing him a favor. You're doing him a disservice. Because the fact that you're also a Bukhar, you're emphasizing what happened. If you're Stam a Levi, you're not a Bukhar, and you're representing a Bukhar. So it's like you're going to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, only with a big day love on. I'm the representative over here. Why are you the representative? Whatever the reason is. But if you're the representative and you're also a Bukhar, you're arousing the Kitroig on that Levi who you are, on that Bukhar that you represent. This Mahalach has advantages, but it has disadvantages. And it's not what Rashi says. Okay, we're going to stop over here. Rabbi Isai, thank you for coming. And thank you for arguing with me.
Thank you. I'm